It's a show about women, for women, and empowering women. This is Cocktails and Conversation with Maureen Moore on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
And good afternoon, everyone. This is Maureen Moore with Cocktails and Conversation here on 590 The Fan. Today, I have some wonderful women with me as we have our cocktails on such a wonderful afternoon. First, I'm going to introduce to you Nicole Kramer, Director of Performance Solutions. Of course, we're going to have to ask her what that means. She's at Fusion Marketing. And Crosby Barnhart. Crosby is the account coordinator at Fusion as well. And Christy Bertelsmann, financial advisor at Edward Jones. And of course, I could say 20 other things about Christy as well, but I'd probably get kicked under the table. So today, I've got these three lovely women here. We are going to have a wonderful afternoon having cocktails, and we'll share a little bit of Saddleback chocolates and share a few conversations that probably you'll be interested in. So ladies, welcome. Welcome so much to the show today. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh, yes. And Crosby, I just have to say first, you just look so cute, so adorable.
Oh, thank you.
You are. I mean, I remember you from high school days, so it's so nice to see that you're growing up a graduate of Mizzou.
Well, thank you.
You know, yes. And that now you've got a job at Fusion and you get paid.
Yeah, I feel like a real adult.
Isn't that wonderful?
It is. It's fun.
Yeah, yeah. You still don't have to borrow your mom's credit card, though, or anything, do you?
Never.
Good girl. Good girl.
Never.
Okay. And here you are sitting here with your boss today, Nicole.
Yeah.
So you're on your best behavior.
Of course. Always.
Yes, yeah. Nicole, tell us a little bit about yourself and about Fusion. And kind of you're the director of performance solutions. So let me ask you, what the heck does that mean?
Yeah, so I'm one of two directors of performance solutions. Have to give a shout out to Julie. but we manage programs for various clients who are trying to incent the sales field. So incenting growth of their business, whether it's their own sales force or distributors who are selling their products. Mm-hmm. So really just if you think about it, if you have a sales goal to sell 50 candy bars in a month and you reach that goal, you're going to earn spendable points or you're going to earn cash. We get to create those programs, design those programs, manage them. It's a fun job because we give out perks to performers who are top performers. So they get to go on travel events or they're just adding to their salary that they already get. So that's really performance solutions is just incentivizing a certain behavior, incentivizing growth for our client.
So you probably want chocolate to incentivize them with.
Yeah, anything.
You
chocolate is
Saddleback
a big
chocolates.
Incentive.
Yeah, yes. That would be good. Everybody would go at 11 o'clock, I need my hit. I need my hit right now, you know. Oh, gosh. Okay, so, and you probably have some major companies, and I'm sure that I can't put you on the spot and ask you on those, you know. But people could go to your website probably and see.
Yes, our website has some case studies about some of our awesome clients, but we definitely represent some great businesses.
That's good. And so what does Crosby do for you? Does Crosby, tell me what you do then for an account.
So I'm an account coordinator. That's my proper name. And I help manage those accounts. So kind of the day-to-day, I'm speaking with the participants in these programs and just making sure the account is running smoothly, the program's doing what it's supposed to, and just communicating with everyone, kind of an in-between.
Okay, so are you the one handing out the chocolates?
Sometimes I am, yeah.
Okay, good. That's good to know. That's good to know.
Yes.
And Christina Marie Bertelsmann.
Yes.
Okay, so you're the one handling everybody's money, right, at Edward Jones?
I handle my clients' money, yes.
There you go. Okay, good. And then you incentivize them to be able to save for the future and save for long term and be able to finally, like we all want to do, retire when we're 44. Is that what you do?
I put in place plans to help people achieve their financial goals. If 44 is your goal, Mo, we...
I missed it.
Yeah, we have some work to do. Yeah, we're not too far off, though.
We have some work to do because I turned 58 the other day, so, and that was at Arlington Racetrack. You would have loved it.
That
oh, my
Saturday.
Gosh. It was just unbelievable. Tiz Gallatin and Mary Jean's Wildcat both just gave out their hearts and then some more. And when they were in the backside afterwards... in their stalls, you know, they wanted their peppermints, but they're like, just just give us the peppermints and leave us alone. We're exhausted, you know. And but they did great. And it was fun to spend a weekend in Chicago with a bunch of friends having Bloody Marys. And, oh, we should probably toast now, ladies, because we are having cocktails now as well. So clink it a little so people cheers. Can hear. Cheers. Cheers. Cheers to Cocktails and Conversation.
And to you. Happy cheers. Belated birthday.
Thank you. Thank you. So, mm-hmm. And I've missed 44 as my date to retire. So I guess we'll have to just continue talking now.
I suppose.
Okay. Sounds good. So, okay. Tell me a little bit about yourselves, each of you. And you know, you don't have to wait for me to ask. You know, tell me, okay, Crosby, where'd you go to school? Where'd you go to high school?
I went to Villa Duchenne for high school. I grew up in kind of the West County area.
Mm-hmm.
And a big fun fact of mine is that I have 6 nieces and nephews.
And you have 2 sisters that
and
are
I have
wonderful.
2 sisters, yes.
Yes.
And sometimes wonderful.
Oh, my gosh. But you have a wonderful mother, don't you?
I do have a wonderful mother.
You have a wonderful mother whom I worked with at Peabody, you know, way back when, before we went our separate ways and started doing other projects. And now your mom and I have come back together full circle.
I remember that.
It's very cool. It's very cool. So, Nicole, you're a Lindbergh girl, aren't you?
Yes, I am a
Did they know that?
Flyer.
Did they know that as well, that you were a Lindbergh girl? Like the school?
The school. Oh, yes.
Yeah, they did. Okay.
I was pretty involved there.
I bet you were. Were you running the school?
I wasn't quite running it, but I think if I could go back, I'd probably mm-hmm. be on that path.
Oh, gosh. And you've got siblings?
No, I am an only child.
Mm-hmm.
I have half-sisters. But,
okay.
They didn't come into the picture for many, many years. So virtually grew up an only child, and I have 2 children myself and 2 fur children. So,
oh, okay, yeah. Pups. I was kind of thinking, I was kind of envisioning that and being like, what's a fur child? Okay. And how old are your kids?
They are 4 and a half, and my daughter will be 2 next month.
Oh, my gosh. You look great for having 2 little ones.
My God. Well, they don't let me sit, so.
You look great.
I never sit still.
Oh, my gosh. Gosh. And your husband?
Yes, my husband, Steve. We've been together since, we just celebrated 12 years of togetherness.
Uh-huh.
Our first date anniversary was last week, so.
Congratulations.
Yes,
congratulations.
You.
That's great. And when did you guys get married?
We got married in March of 2010, so
okay,
we 8 years.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Great.
We've been together 1/3 our lives, which is. I don't feel that old already.
Wait till you get to be my age. You know, then you'll
half
really
your
feel
life
it. Yeah,
or
then you'll go, oh, my gosh. I just keep telling Mike Moore he has to live till he's 93.
Oh, yes.
If he can live till he's 93, we will have been married 50 years. And I said, then you can die. He goes, well, what if I plan on living longer? I go, well, that's fine, but you got to live till you're 93 so I can say that we were married 50 years.
Yeah.
That's the only precursor. And Miss Christie's getting married in about, what, let's see, November 24th. When's that going to be? 8 weeks, 9 weeks, 10 weeks? How many weeks?
It's 10, just under 10 weeks.
Okay, good. Okay, so the invitations do look good. I got to see them and proof them the other day. So
yeah,
they
she
look
did
good.
Approve them.
Okay.
So
yes.
I now have free.
You have free reign. You can send. You can do whatever you want with them now that they've been approved and proofed.
Thank you for your permission.
Yes, you're welcome. You're welcome. So you're getting married. Who are you marrying?
Marrying the lovely Caleb. And
I don't think he wants to be called the lovely Caleb. Let's try another adjective.
Handsome?
Handsome would be nice.
Handsome,
kind.
Smart, kind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lovely, I don't think so. Yeah.
His name's Caleb, and along with him, I get his beautiful 4-year-old daughter, Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
So I will be a wife and stepmom in mm-hmm. just under 10 weeks.
You look like a deer in headlights.
I have a lot
Crosby,
going on.
Get this look, okay?
Okay.
Someday that'll
Got
be
it.
You, okay? Get that look.
But it's all starting to come together. Mm-hmm. Family's been super supportive.
Yeah.
Happy to have them. My in-laws are great. I couldn't ask for better people to be surrounded by while I go through this whole crazy wedding planning process. So it's been great.
How long did it take you to plan your wedding, Nicole?
We ended up, I would have loved a fall wedding, but it mm-hmm. would have been a tight go. So mm-hmm. I think it was about 1 year and 3 months. We bought a house and I finished my master's all like while we were engaged. So there's just a lot happening in life. So I was happy for the extra time.
How long did you wait to get married, Maureen?
Well, it took 12 years before Mike Moore asked me to marry him. We didn't live together the whole time. We had separate homes, separate everything. And I commuted from Cleveland during the week because I had an office in Cleveland. But for part of that time, I should say. But it only took us 6 weeks. I did a full Catholic, full 9 yards wedding, 6 weeks, and had the main reception for 300, had a private reception that night, and then had a brunch the next day and a luncheon the following day. Pulled it all off in 6 weeks and calligraphied all my invitations.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. All my I calligraphied everything, place cards, the whole nine yards. So I don't understand how it takes a year for everybody now. It's like, what the heck?
Well,
six
you just
weeks
kind
I got it done.
Piecemeal it, you know. It
was, I just nailed it. It was like 3 days, nail it, get it done, you know. So it was finished. And it was a full Catholic wedding, you know, so that took a lot to pull that all mm-hmm. off back then. But anyway, almost 26 years since we got married, so it's been a while.
Congratulations.
It's been a while, awesome. Thanks. So, yeah, longevity, there's a lot to be said for longevity. Right, Jim?
Absolutely.
Yes, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. I'm just making sure Jim's awake over there in the corner as he's handling things. So, okay, so college for all three of you. Mizzou yep. for you, right, Crosby?
Yes.
Yes, okay, and they knew you were there as well, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I know your mother knew you were there. You know? And Nicole.
Yeah. So I went to, at the time, it was SMSU.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Southwest Missouri State. They changed the name my last semester. So all of my gear is SMS and my diploma is not. And then I went to Lindenwood for my master's.
Okay. Very good. Very good. And little miss?
I started.
Oh, that's you, Christy.
Yeah, that's yeah. me. Thank yeah. you. Uh-huh. I started out at Murray State, mm-hmm. and then I wrapped up my degree here at SIUE.
As the valedictorian of your class.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Yay!
She was valedictorian, so I think that's just so great. Cool, you know? I mean, I certainly wasn't valedictorian, but but I did run the school, so it didn't matter at St. Louis U. So tell me, how did you all, let's kind of, as we're just chatting now, how did everybody get into where they are? I mean, okay, Crosby, is this where you thought you'd end up in the beginning? Or did you think you were going to write a Pulitzer Prize article and then kind of take it from there?
Maybe my dreams were that big. No, I didn't really know. I was interested in journalism, so that's mm-hmm. what I majored in.
Following your parents?
Yes, following my parents, communications. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know I would end up at Fusion, but I'm happy I did.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. And Nicole, expand on that a little. Where did you think, is this where you started, like that you thought that you'd be at a company like Fusion, or what did you think you'd be doing?
Yeah, so I just wanted a job. I spent about 10 months searching out of college and waited tables during that time and landed at a big company in St. Louis that actually was in the incentive business, starting off where Crosby is, really, and mm-hmm. then getting into like merchandise side of things and then spending a whole lot of time talking to a whole lot of people there to figure out what I wanted to do, because where I was just not what I wanted to do, but mm-hmm. I knew there had to be other things. And then I loved project management. I think it's in every aspect of our careers, no matter what you're doing. And my degrees were in communication, so a mix of like being able to write things and create things and leading people. So where I am now is, I think, where I envisioned I would want to be. Mm-hmm. A few years into the work world, but not immediately.
I think you're right, because a lot of times, you know, I mean, my degree was accounting, and I lasted 8 days in public accounting for one of the big eight and then quit, you know, I mean. But it's a wonderful background. It's a wonderful basis and foundation for everything I do. But I don't have to worry about, well, I drove our, yesterday was corporate tax day. You know, yesterday was the extension, and at 5 o'clock was the end for that. And our poor CPA, I think I saw him at 4:38 yesterday to sign everything. And I said, God love you, Dan Weidenbender. I should give a good shout out for him. And he is running for a county seat in St. Clair County. I don't know what you call that. He's not county board chair, but he's running for a county election. But great guy. Went to high school with him, and he became our CPA. And so he's the one that keeps me straight and narrow, because I certainly don't want to do it.
That's a tough job.
It's a very tough job, Christy. Mm-hmm. Yes, you tried that for several years, didn't you? Working for me prior to going to Edward Jones. Yes.
I made some progress.
You did. You did. Yes.
I got your emails down to double digits at one point.
And now when she sees my phone, she's like, you got 5,000 unread emails. It's like, well, yeah, I saw them on the phone or on my, you know, in my computer or whatever. I'm just terrible, aren't
You're
I?
You're hopeless.
I'm hopeless. Thank you. Shoot. So tell me, little miss. Okay, so who majored in biology or chemistry? What was it? It was something that you're not in now, I know. It was like
sciences,
you were really smart.
Yeah.
Yeah, very, very uber smart. Yeah.
I've bounced around quite a bit.
Yeah, you did.
Well, I met Maureen probably 6 to 9 months after I graduated. Couldn't find a job that I wanted because, frankly, everybody has a bachelor's degree. I didn't really stand out. And then she made me grovel for a job. No, I'm kidding.
Her mother brings me to St. Louis Bread. Her mother brings her to Bread Co. and says, can you take her under your wing and explain to her business? Because she needs to get a job, but she's very smart, very kind, and very loyal, but she needs a job. So she came to work for me at Peabody Energy as an intern, and it was great.
And to this day, I will say she was my toughest boss. And sometimes when I get out of a meeting or I have to deal with, you know, someone unpleasant, whether it's at work or outside of work, I often get in my car and think, thanks, Mo. I handled that very well.
I thought you were going to say, man, they still weren't as mean as Mo. No. I thought that's what you were going to say. Crosby, no. That's what you were thinking, weren't you?
Oh, yeah.
No, I learned a lot about hard work.
Oh, yeah. It pays off, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So if you learn that, so tell me some other things, ladies, because this is, you know, this is really a program. And I think what we'll do is I want you to think about it. And we're going to kind of go through the fact that it's, you know, this is a show that's about women, for women, you know, and this is really about, it's not this empowerment, like, oh, we're talking this Me Too stuff or anything like that. I know that that's important to several people. That's not our basis. Our basis is really women who have worked hard, women that have, you know, that had to make a lot of choices, whether it was, you know, business, home life, you know, family life. And at the same time, following your career, you know, what your career, where your career takes you compared to where your degree might have been or where your heart would rather be, you know. So, but it's strong women. May we know them. May we be them. May we raise them, Nicole.
Yes.
And may we praise them, Ms. Crosby, because it's all about, you know, really making sure that people are applauded for everything that they've done and what they've learned and how they've accomplished it. So let's come back to that. So give yourselves a few seconds. Let's come back to that. This is Maureen Moore with Cocktails and Conversation on 590 The Fan. And you can always pick up our podcast on our on the website as well, on 590thefan.com. But you can also catch us on replays, too, on Saturdays and Sundays, 12 noon and 7 a.m. on Sundays.
We now return to Cocktails and Conversation with Maureen Moore on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Hi, this is Maureen Moore and Cocktails and Conversation here on 590 The Fan. We are back on this beautiful afternoon with three wonderful women, Nicole Kramer with Fusion Marketing, Crosby Barnhart with Fusion Marketing as well, and Christy Bertelsmann, a financial advisor for Edward Jones. So three accomplished. Now, the funny thing is these are three accomplished younger women. And normally I have women that have kind of, you know, hit that 40, 45-year range because they've, you know, they've had a little bit more time in the marketplace but and in their careers. But today we wanted to talk to some younger women to see what they're, you know, what they're finding out, what they're feeling about their positions, what they would change, and who really kind of mentored them. So let's get back with Crosby, Nicole, and Christy, and here on 590 at Cocktails and Conversation. So Nicole, so tell me some things, like, you know, because of the three, you're the oldest here. Okay,
thank you.
Besides me, dear. Besides me, dear. Well, you're married, happily married with two little ones, and married 12 and married 8 years, and together 12.
Yes.
See, I actually listen.
Yes.
So, but what I'd like to know is what do you think, you know, because you're starting to see probably some different things than what Crosby's seeing, mm-hmm. you know, as somebody starting out. And then Christy, who's, you know, gone from, you know, different positions now to being with Edward Jones and really, you know, taking that as her career path for the rest of her life. So what do you see that's some different changes and some things happening and challenges?
I think there's definitely a lot more opportunities. I felt like I was kind of fighting to get to where I am today,
mm-hmm.
Taking chances, having to leave organizations that I adored and people I adored because I just didn't think I'd ever get out of it what I needed to.
Uh-huh.
And that's still going to happen no matter where you are. But I like to think, especially where we are today, that maybe it's different for Crosby because I see the organization we're in and it's not a good old boys club, which mm-hmm. is a couple of the businesses I've worked for here locally in St. Louis. And so being able to see women leaders and women get growth opportunities, and it might sound cliche, but it is. It's a struggle sometimes. And to be able to just put yourself out there and take those opportunities and seek them out. And sometimes you might land in an organization where it's not quite as hard to search mm-hmm. for those. They're mm-hmm. not hidden under depths and depths of stuff. They're there and they exist.
So do you feel that like with Crosby, and Crosby, think about this now with you being both of you at the same company, and then Christy, you know, you're in a business where it was primarily men for so many years, and you know, now, I mean, obviously now you're going to have a new leader, you know, soon with Penny.
So excited.
Yeah, so that's going to be, you know, I mean, and she's following some tough shoes to fill. You know, she really is, you know, I mean, and you know, Edward Jones is a staple. Edward Jones is a strong company. It's a company that people really respect and that they look to for a lot of guidance. And so how do you guys see, you know, you and Crosby, how do you guys see the opportunities that you have in front of you right now? Go ahead, either one of you. Christy, go ahead. Yeah, what do you see as some of your opportunities?
Oh, you're right. Penny coming on board she's an inspiration. I've never personally been able to meet her, but she is coming to our fall regional out in St. Charles. So
really?
Looking forward to the opportunity to actually get to meet her and shake her hand there.
And when's that date?
Oh, gosh. October 30th, I think.
Right before
Halloween. It's a private thing.
Oh, it's a private thing? I can't come?
No, you may not.
Well, I might just have to swing by.
I know you don't hear that often.
Yes, I don't hear that often.
No, it's a great event where we get to take our BOAs, which is our branch office administrator. I mean, it's a lovely luncheon, and we get to bounce ideas off each other and learn from different product partners and stuff like that.
Okay.
So I'll actually get a chance to meet Penny there. And as far as opportunities, I'm always looking for opportunities to differentiate myself.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard. In St. Louis, there's 300 to 350 Edward Jones financial advisors alone.
Yeah.
And I agree a lot with your comment about it being a boys club. It's hard sometimes. I get a lot of, sweetie, how long you been doing this?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Nicole, I bet you have too,
oh,
right?
Yes.
Well, and especially when you're pretty as well. It's tough. I mean, you know, because then, you know, like today we were having lunch and this guy, he didn't pay two licks at me as far as looking at me until Christy walked in and all of a sudden he hopped up. You know, did you see it? And I was like, oh, for God's sake, you dirty old man. You know, leave her alone, you know. That's what I wanted to say, but I didn't, you know, and you handled yourself well.
Yeah, it's all a delicate balance, but I always address those people. I have received the best training. I have the best mentors and colleagues.
And so who are some of your mentors? Who's kind of mentored you along the way?
Oh, gosh, I can't think of any. No, this woman here to my left, Maureen. Grabbed me right out of college, and she never let go. I haven't seen her in 9 months.
I know.
Maybe more.
I know, gosh.
But I still talk to her 9 times a week.
Oh, yeah. We talk all the time because it's like, okay, what are you doing now, and how are you going to do this differently? Who were some of your mentors, Nicole?
A woman named Elizabeth Mays. She was a leader in the organization I first worked for, and I would go to her a lot. I was young. I mean, I was like 23 years old and had my sights set high, and that's not always realistic. And she forced me to put myself out there and empowered me to go and do what was called informational interviews, where I would just meet with various people through our whole organization, had this list of questions. It was almost like an interview of like, what do you do and how'd you get here and what do you like about it, to find what was right for me. And it's been a while since I've seen her, which is unfortunate because we've just lost time. But she was always so empowering of me, and she was a fantastic lady.
And how would you suggest someone now going out there? Would you tell them the same thing as far as just doing the informational interviews, or what would you say to mentor somebody now?
Absolutely. I benefited so much from that experience, and it's hard if you don't have a leader or a manager who supports that. They're looking at you like, what, you want to go talk to people about your next job? But she saw that where I was just that kind of interim, young, working, doing what I can to get to where I needed to be. And so I would tell people to kind of seek that out. And we had the opportunity to create a committee where I once worked, where we focused on empowering generations X and Y to grow themselves and to put themselves out there, because not everyone might be as aggressive as what I would maybe call myself. So creating networking opportunities, speed networking and mentoring opportunities, and just helping people connect. So put yourself out there and don't be scared to talk to a stranger and say, what do you do and how did you get here? I think that's the biggest key.
And Crosby, are you doing that?
I'm trying to.
You're trying to, okay.
I think growing up, since I'm recently out of college, growing up, my mentor was my mom. Seeing her work every day, like, working was never an option. I was just always going to do it. And so it was kind of, how am I going to do that? And so I went to college. And then now in the workforce, Nicole is kind of my mentor. She was a big reason why I chose the job that I have today, because I felt that she was going to be a good person to kind of help me with that transition between or from college to the workforce. And we do monthly check-ins, and she enhances my abilities that will be transferable to jobs in the future and moving forward. So she's been great.
How did your mom mentor you? Tell me some wonderful facts about your mother.
She is wonderful. She's just a hard worker. She made a lot of difficult choices growing up, or as I was growing up. And I think seeing her persevere and just work full time really instilled that in me. And
yeah, your mom's pretty cool.
She was a great role model.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. She's pretty cool. Hard worker, wonderful, wonderful writer. Great insight, you know, great insight, you know, and she's still been one of my go-to people for me to get information from and to work with. So, yeah, you were
me too.
You were very lucky. Well, all three of you girls were, yes. So it's nice. So, okay, so tell me, so who are you guys going to mentor now? Christina Bertelsmann, who are you going to mentor now that you're the ripe old age of 30?
My little sister will always be my pet project and someone
needs to be.
And someone I'm most passionate about, making sure they succeed. And now I have little Kennedy coming along, so making sure she keeps her nose clean and does exactly what I tell her to do.
Okay, with with Katie. Katie graduates in December, right?
Yes, from Goldfarb Nursing School.
After already having a degree out of U of I.
Correct.
Yes, and she's a good gal, smart, very intuitive again, and she'll be a good hard worker. She'd be somebody I'd want to work on me if I had to go into the emergency room or something, you know. She wouldn't let me die.
No, she wouldn't.
Katie'd keep me alive. Yeah, I know that, you know. So, okay, so, you know, so you guys have had some mentors. Think about your parents. Think about your upbringing, you know. I mean, Nicole, your parents, you know, you being an only child, and their whole world revolved around you, and your whole world revolved around them. What did your parents do to kind of help instill that you wanted to go to college and that you wanted to be a strong female force when you came out of school?
Yeah, so talking about powerful women, I was raised by my mom and my grandma.
Okay.
So not the normal family situation, but I tell you what, the two strongest women I know who just made me who I am. I was first generation college outside, like my immediate family. I had cousins and an uncle who went. So I don't know that it was necessarily like you're going to college, but at that time it was 2002 when I graduated, and I didn't ever see anything else besides that for myself. And my mom's always been so supportive of me, and still to this day, I will sometimes say, Mom, don't put that on Facebook or brag about me, or, because I am her only. And so now that I have my own kids, she'll constantly say, like, well, now you understand. And I'm like, oh, you're projecting it all on me. Am I at least spreading it 50-50 a little bit? But I completely appreciate what she has instilled in me. And she probably doesn't quite see it all because, again, she maybe didn't go to college, but she worked two jobs my whole life pretty much, and didn't remarry until I was about 14. So she was the driving force behind me just knowing, like Crosby said, working was always going to be a thing. I didn't know the stay-at-home mom lifestyle. I totally support it and think that it's awesome. I don't know if I could do it. I love to be with adults a lot of times as well as my children. But yeah, I think she just showed me what hard work was and what it meant to provide for your family.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when I think back, I thought I was going to graduate from St. Louis U with my accounting degree. I was going to work till I was 27. It was in my head. I'm going to work till I'm 27. Then I will be married, and then I will have children, you know, a little bit after that. I was going to play tennis on Tuesdays and Thursdays. You know, I already knew that, and I was going to go to the grocery store, you know, one day a week. And other than that, I was going to, it was going to be like the Cleaver family, you know, where I would just kind of have my own little world, and I'd be the perfect little wife. Well, I'm still not the perfect little wife by any means. I think Mike Moore would tell you that. But at the same time, we've got a great, you know, great lifestyle, and I've never not worked. I've never not worked. I can't even imagine not working, you know. So it's kind of interesting that way.
Yeah, I think that idea of not working and having that perfect family is definitely changing. I have a big group of girlfriends, and I think every single one of them is planning on working until retirement. It's not even like a question of, well, I might just stop working. It's, I can't believe we have to do this for the rest of our life.
Yeah.
But that idea is definitely changing, I think.
It is. It's interesting, isn't it? And now, right now, you're not even living at home anymore. You're living out on your own, right?
I am paying my own bills.
Very good. Yeah. That's great. And with how many roommates?
I have two roommates.
Two roommates. Okay. So that's good. And you guys have it set up that everybody kind of knows their jobs to kind of keep the place straight and do whatever.
We have our little routine and we all pay the bills and clean and cook. We're little adults now.
We're little adults. Oh, gosh. God, I remember those days. Don't you, Jim? That was a long time ago.
It's fun.
Yeah, that was a while ago. Yeah. Gee, many. And you, little Miss Christy, you're a little adult getting married and, you know, figuring out all this stuff as far as all of a sudden family and taking on a lot more.
Yeah, it's quite the transition. I went from living on my own downtown.
A beautiful place in the Syndicate building. And, yeah.
Yep. And
who was that baseball player that lived above you?
I don't name names.
He was a baseball player for the Cardinals that was like big time during one of those years when he played. Didn't he play third base?
That's enough.
Yeah, that's enough. Yeah. That's enough. And I used to say to her, well, he's cute. Maybe he wants to go out, you know? And, you know, it was like, I'd always be kind of like, who's in your building? You know, but Christy lives so high up there. You know, you were right under the penthouse, weren't you?
It was a beautiful time. Yeah. I had a lot of parties and dinner parties.
Dinner parties, yeah, that's right.
Very sophisticated.
Quite, yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I assure you. And but yeah, the family's great. Kennedy's been one of the most challenging and rewarding
now
parts
gonna
of my life.
Now you're going to be in suburbia.
Yes, I keep creeping further and further west.
I know. No more of this downtown, like, nightlife and everything. Yeah,
no,
that's wild.
That's all behind me.
That's wild. Well, and it's been behind me for a long time. So when you talk about this and you kind of see how your lives evolve, where do you all think you're going to be in the next? Well, Nicole, I guess you're going to be running the company, what, in about 12 years? Is that about what that'll kind of put you on the right path?
Take me with you.
For the first time in my...
Yeah, Crosby's already going, take me with you. Yeah.
Come on up the ladder. Yeah. No, for the first time in my career in a long time, I'm not seeking what's next yet. I'm going to enjoy what I have now. It's I'm a little over a year into managing a team.
How do you like management?
Well, and I actually don't like the word manage. I like to think I try to lead. Because I think leaders mean more and help people more. And so I'm honored to hear Crosby thinks of me as a mentor, because I do. I try to bring the best out of everyone and find ways to help them grow and get them to where they need to be. So that's what I want to continue to do for a little while. I have little ones at home. And so for the first time in a long time, I'm happy. I'm happy where I am. And I'm not on
You're
LinkedIn
content.
All the time. And I'm not looking at the corner office saying, yep, I'm going to be there next week. But I do see big things for me in the future. But right now, I'm just going to kind of take it all in.
So do you slap the table sometimes and go, leadership, I have leadership skills. Do you hear me? I have skills. I have leadership skills, just like
it's
Lucy and Charlie
now.
Brown.
It's real now. It's real.
Oh, yeah. That's it. I have them. I have skills, you know. Listen to me.
Something like that.
Well, and it is. It's tough. What do you think, Christy?
You just won
probably 200 good clients?
I mean, that's the dream, of course.
Yeah.
I love all the opportunities that are available to me at Edward Jones. Kind of like you said earlier, I'm trying to make this my lifelong career. I love hearing stories from people I meet out and about how they've been with Edward Jones for 20 years and they love their gal and she's done so well for them. They send her Christmas cards and invite her for birthday parties or whatever it may be. I really look forward to those days.
That will happen. I have all the faith in the world in you.
Thank you.
That will happen. I know it, you know. And Crosby will be there going, okay, I'm working for Nicole. Nicole is running the company. She's CEO and I'm COO.
Yes.
And we need you to manage our money.
Yep.
Big dream.
We'll do. Yes.
There you go.
You got my number.
We got your number. So this is Maureen Moore with Cocktails and Conversation with three phenomenal women here today on 590 The Fan. We'll be back in a few minutes. So raise your glass if you are never be anything.
We now return to Cocktails and Conversation with Maureen Moore on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Okay, ladies, we are back with 590 The Fan and Cocktails and Conversation. I'm Maureen Moore, and we are here today with strong women. And the nice thing, though, is they are younger women who are haven't been in the workforce and haven't had their careers as long as many of our guests. So that I do want to say that they're wise. They're just not wise beyond their years yet, even though, Crosby, you may think you are. You know,
but, okay.
Okay, okay, good. You know to just kind of take that with a little bit of grain of salt. But I've got Nicole Kramer here, Director of Performance Solutions at Fusion Marketing, Crosby. Crosby Barnhart is here with as the Account Coordinator here at Fusion. And then Christina Marie Bertelsmann, Financial Advisor at Edward Jones. And the nice thing is, you know, you guys have talked about your mentors. You've talked about, you know, some of the things, what got you here, where you went to college, your folks, who really has kind of helped you, inspired you and such. But let's think about giving back a little and some of the things it takes to give back, you know, and some of the stuff as far as philanthropic thoughts. So with everything happening in the Carolinas and with Hurricane Florence, which I will tell you, my grandmother's name was Florence. So we named a horse Singer McGee after her maiden name, McGee, because she was Florence McGee. So with the Hurricane Florence, are you all going to get in a vehicle after this and drive to the Carolinas to help and support the people in North Carolina and South Carolina? Okay, everybody's looking at me like I'm crazy, so I guess that answer is no. But think about what's happening right now in the Carolinas. I mean, what you were telling me, Nicole, is that you've got family that was supposedly going to move there. I mean,
yeah,
what is
she
thinking now? My gosh.
Going to uproot her whole life and just start anew. And yeah, so it all hinges on her house selling. But she said, obviously, if I make it out there in the next month, I'll just be spending a lot of time volunteering for a little while.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly. And we all know that we feel so horrible about what's happened on the East Coast and what people are going through. But, you know, we have a lot of things and a lot of different great projects and charities and people that we can help here at home. You know, are there any charities or events that you all hold near and dear to your hearts as far as any kind of philanthropic needs? You're all shaking your heads. So, Christina, what's on your mind, Missy?
So, aligned with Edward Jones Philanthropic, what's the right word I'm looking for?
Initiative.
Giving.
Perhaps, yes.
Initiative. There you go. See, that's why she's in marketing. That's why Nicole's in marketing.
So with their initiatives, big supporters of the Alzheimer's walks and such around the area.
Okay.
Ours is actually next Saturday, the 29th. My branch is hosting a team. Caleb and I are both really passionate about that. We just lost his grandfather, 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Alzheimer's, and his grandmother a couple years before that, and my grandfather is
In the middle of it now.
Yep, he's fighting right now. So,
where is that walk?
Mine is in St. Charles at the community college out there.
And how far do you have to walk?
5K.
5K. Okay. So, what is that? About 3 miles,
give or take.
Give or take. Okay. And do you have to walk it in a certain time frame, or can you stroll and have lunch and chat with people?
I encourage it.
To stroll and have lunch and chit-chat with people. I think that's the way I would do it.
You know, you don't even have to walk. You can just contribute, which I have a lot of family in Illinois, and they're just donating to support us. So that's something very near and dear to me.
Okay, very good. Very good. Are you walking?
I am. I will be there at 8 a.m.
Good. Good deal. Okay. Look for who's the one that you look like, the princess that you look like?
Kate.
Kate. See, Nicole noticed it right now. Oh, my gosh. We didn't go anywhere without people saying before Princess Kate or whatever she is now, whatever her official title is, you know, Duchess or whatever. People go, oh, my God, Kate Middleton. I'm like, no, Christy Bertelsmann, you know, Christy Bertelsmann, Bevel West graduate, SIUE graduate. Yeah. Millsat girl, you know, Christy Bertelsmann. Nicole, what are some of the things and some of the projects that you're most proud of and that you want to give back to or support?
Yeah. So we're fortunate that at Fusion, they support giving back to the community, especially locally. So they encourage 20 hours a year for employees to give back. And then they offer up opportunities in different areas. And the focus is family, animals, and I'm forgetting the third, but there are three areas we're really focused on. I think mm-hmm. education was the other one. Mm-hmm. And I am so passionate about animal rescue.
Oh,
our
good.
Two fur babies were from Hope Rescues in Alton, Illinois, mm-hmm. which got started through Katrina. It was just two women that took in a whole bunch of dogs after Hurricane Katrina and cats, and it grew and it grew and it grew.
So now she has me invested in this, yeah. too.
Yeah. Really? So are you going to have a pup soon, Missy?
Well, no, I don't think I could adopt one yet, but I am offering up my services to walk them,
yeah.
some of the shelter dogs or rescue dogs.
At
oh, wow,
Stray,
that's great.
At Stray Rescue.
At Stray Rescue, okay.
We do it through our work. They are like a block away from Fusion,
mm-hmm.
so we can give a couple hours.
Yeah.
Almost once a month, I think they offer it up, and it's nice. Like, you just get to go walk these mm-hmm. sweet little dogs.
That are so thankful.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. They're so sweet.
They're so happy.
Oh, yeah.
The dangerous, quote-unquote, pit mixes that lick your hands and are just as sweet as can be. So
oh, yeah.
check
yeah.
them out.
We've got a new Stray Rescue, like, and I think they're bringing in some horses, too, over in the O'Fallon area where they've expanded into a farm that's not too far from where we're located, you know, for our home. But it's great because, you know, our dog, Annie, well, Christy, you were with me when we found Annie. Okay, so this is a good story because, and this people, everyone should do this. We were on our way to a Peabody Energy Leaders in Education event. I was still driving my Chrysler 300 from Federico, and that baby could hum. I mean, that car could move. And it was in February, the first day of the Olympics for the opening ceremonies, okay? Mike Moore was at home with his ankle being, he had just had it replaced, totally replaced. So he was home like 2 days, you know, with a friend of ours babysitting him because we were on a road trip. So we're down in southern Illinois or Indiana, I can't even remember, on a 2-lane highway. And there's poor Annie and another dog eating raw, what do you call it?
Roadkill.
Oh. Roadkill. In the freezing, sleeting rain on a highway, 2-lane highway, in the middle of the road. Well, all they were intent on is Annie and this other old chihuahua trying to get that dead roadkill that was frozen to the pavement. Okay, so can you see that? Crosby, what do you think? It was pretty bad.
Yeah. Sounds awful.
It was. And so I parked my car sideways on the highway, got out in heels and in my fur coat and a suit, and stopped all the traffic, flagged everybody down. I had a white thing in the back car, and I'm just flagging everybody down. Everybody came to a total stop. Oh. And these two dogs didn't even have a clue that we had stopped our car to save them. And the little chihuahua went to this lady that got out of her little minivan, and the chihuahua went to her. Now, Christy, the one thing Christy said to me is, oh, my God, we're going to get killed. I go, then get out of the car. That was my answer. Then get out of the car, but we're saving these dogs. And little Annie flipped right over like, you know, here I am. You know, she flipped over on her back.
Run
and
my belly.
Yeah, that was it. And so I picked her up, and this lady, as people started to kind of creep by on the sides of us, they're like, are these your dogs? I go, no, but they're starving. We got to save them. Christy, again, is standing by the car, you know, ranting that I'm doing something stupid and we're all going to get killed, you know. And I'm like, no, we're going to do this. And so this one lady hands me, I said, they're starving. She goes, here, I just came from the grocery store, and hands us a bag of what was that? Bread.
Yeah.
Bread. And so I hand the one lady half the bread that took the one dog, and I take the other half and throw Annie in the car. And we take a few pictures of her. We take her to a local vet. I give him my business card. I give him Annie and say, we're going to meetings, and I can't take this dog to the meetings, but I cannot leave this dog in my car, but you got to keep her for a few hours. They kept her till we came back. We tried to find her home, her original home. Nobody recognized her. Brought her home. And now Annie is the queen. You know?
Oh, good.
She is the queen, and she knows she's been saved. Doesn't she?
Mm-hmm. Yep. She's an angel.
She is an angel. She is very demanding. She knows everything, yes. But see, in Stray Rescue dogs, you know, dogs really do know that they've been saved.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they will be, you know, you're two, Nicole. What do you have? What kind of dogs?
They're both mixes, like shepherd mixes,
uh-huh.
Mid-size, like 40-pounders. But they've rescued as puppies, so mm-hmm. they've had a pretty sweet life. We let them know when the neighborhood, like neighbors leave their dogs out all day. We're like, you got it pretty good. You're laying in a queen bed right now.
Uh huh.
Doing all right.
That's exactly right. Yeah, you guys have a good life. Yeah. Crosby, you and your girlfriends need that. You need a mascot in your
we'll
in
find
your
her one.
Apartment.
I know, but it'll be hard because we all work full time. So yeah. Who's going to take care of it while we're gone?
I work full time.
Yeah, Nicole
it's
works
doable.
Full time.
It's
I
doable.
Work full time.
Can I bring them to work?
Yeah,
on Fridays. Yes,
there
on
you
Fridays,
go. Fridays
we can do
see,
that.
There you go.
I'll consider it.
Okay, that sounds good. But for now, you're doing your good deed, which is great. You know, which is great. So you know, we talked a lot about giving back. We've talked about. One thing we haven't talked about is really kind of getting blindsided. Tell me that one tough project or that one tough challenge that kind of threw you off your game for a few minutes or a few days. Is there anything that ever blindsided you, or am I the only one that's ever been blindsided?
I think entering the workforce, just realizing how difficult it is, really was hard to deal with, and just interviews in general were hard, but getting a job is not easy.
Right. And
so that
having
was
a job
is definitely a hard reality to come to terms with.
Having a job is something you need to really appreciate, right?
Oh, yeah.
You think about that, you know, when you have to just take every call and take every meeting, and it's important to do that because it does make the other person that you're working with very appreciative as well. But I had one assistant that I had to break of this habit because she would have her purse on her desk. She'd have her typewriter covered at 4:45, and she was just waiting for 5:00. So, you know, she and a few other people they'd all head to the office doors right at, you know, 5:02 to wait to go out. And it's like, what is wrong with you people? So how does that change from now? Nicole, like with your team now that you have such leadership skills with, I bet you don't have people looking at the clock, do you?
No, and, you know, I feel like if you're constantly the person that's like, oh, I'm working 50 hours this week, I instantly am thinking, what's wrong in this situation? Like, what are you not getting to make your life a little bit more balanced? Or what is not efficient about what's going on here? So I've been of the thought of, like, work smarter and not necessarily work more hours. So we're fortunate that we're in an organization that has a flex schedule as well. So I come in early and I leave a little earlier than the norm because I have little ones at home that I try to get to. So Crosby comes in a little later because, you know, younger wants to sleep a little longer when my children are waking me up at 5 a.m. But stays later. And that is a balance that works for us. So I'm not watching the clock on her, and she's probably not watching the clock.
I'm not.
And we just, it's trust, and it's get your job done, and make sure that our clients are happy and that we're successful. And also that if you find yourself in times of, like, downtime, reach out to the team and say, how can I help you, or what else can I do? And make sure that we're just doing the best we can and putting in our time and trusting each other to do that.
That's great. And Christy, how does that change for you? Because, you know, you're kind of on call for clients and would-be clients at any time, aren't you?
Yes, I went from the normal 9 to 5 Monday through Friday to, hey, I need to see you Sunday after church. It's the only time I have available. Or Saturday evening when I get home from the lake is when, you know, my wife and I can come in. Or I even do house calls now.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, I'm impressed.
Yeah, we'll sit right there at the kitchen table and walk through the whole process of planning and building their portfolio. It's really in this business building portion of my career, kind of like you, an entrepreneur with the backing of a huge firm and all the support I could ask for. But it is my responsibility to build my business. And kind of like Nicole said, I have the flexibility with my schedule to build it as I see fit. I need to get the work done. So whatever it takes at this point.
So what would you give as far as advice to somebody that's stepping into the workplace this next May, Ms. Crosby? So when somebody's going to start interviewing and looking for a position, what would you give them if you had to give them like 5 points?
I have a lot of advice.
Good. Let's hear it.
Don't give up. You're never too good for a job.
Oh, my gosh. That is so right.
Be appreciative. It's not about you. Something that's different from college to the workforce is that In college, your work, if you fail, it's on you. It's really individual. I could not do this assignment or this project, and if I fail, it's going to affect me. But in the workforce, it's not about you. So you need to if I don't follow through with something, it's affecting a whole line of people. So at the end of the day, it's more than just you, which is different than college. It is discouraging sometimes interviewing a lot and not hearing back. But just keep trying and know that everyone's in your same position.
Did you write a lot of follow-up letters and thank you letters?
Oh, yeah.
And
thank you letters, either handwritten or emailed. Mm-hmm. Just in being appreciative for any opportunity you're given. If someone's even interviewing you.
They're giving other time.
That is a big deal, and that's right. An accomplishment.
See, and this comes from the mouths of babes because, let's see, Crosby, you've been out of college how long now?
About a little over a year.
Uh-huh. And that's just it. And you did really well in college. So the nice thing is that you came out of school. You've already learned some of the toughest steps that some of us all other people had to take some time to learn. But it's because women, we're here just to empower women, to help young women grow and to be able to be mentors, you know, throughout the years. And I have to say thank you to all three of you because it has been my pleasure to have all of you on Cocktails and Conversation today here on 590 The Fan. And again, I had Nicole Kramer here, Director of Performance Solutions at Fusion Marketing, Crosby Barnhart, Account Coordinator at Fusion, and then Christina Marie Bertelsmann, Financial Advisor at Edward Jones. And I'd like to say thanks to all three of you for being here with Cocktails and Conversation on 590 The Fan. This is Maureen Moore.
Thanks,
Thank you.
Mom. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.